of the heartland.com.
And again, Kathy Dawes, along with Fort Riley Museum Complex Division Director, Dr. Robert Smith, and all kinds of, as we took our break, I found out some other trivia and interesting things, too, about the first, and just fascinating information. 5-3-7-13-50, of course, today is the big 100th anniversary that we're talking about of the 1st Infantry Division, and welcome Robert here to talk to us about that. But you mentioned a wine. There's actually a first ID. There's a wine.
There is a wine. It is, excuse my pronunciation, French. It is Chateau Neuf du Pape. And I think it's still readily available today. Great story about it is that at the end of World War I, 1918, two lieutenants from the 6th Field Artillery found a destroyed home and went down into the cellar and found cases and cases of wine. And so they loaded up their truck with wine, with these cases of wine, but then they started to have a little remorse and guilt about, were we really supposed to take this? So they went to their senior leaders and they talked to them and they said, well, you shouldn't have taken it, but you better get rid of it. And so they did get rid of it. So since 1918, Chateau Neuf du Pape has been the wine of the 1st Infantry Division.
Oh, that is funny. That is interesting. And I wonder how they got rid of it. You didn't tell us that.
I can neither confirm nor deny any gotcha. Knowledge of that.
There's also a dog, you said. Of course, I do remember some, I mean, even in recent times you've had a dog that's been associated with the 1st Infantry Division, but I'll let you explain the history of that, too.
The 1st Infantry Division dog, it was also a World War I story. Those soldiers at World War I had great stories that they brought back. But Rags belonged to the, I believe it was the 6th Field Artillery. And they picked him up, and just he was a mutt in the Montmartre area of Paris, and adopted him as a mascot. The interesting thing about Rags is the story is that the Rags could hear the incoming shells before the soldiers, and so they taught him if he heard anything to crouch down, and if he heard incoming shells, he would crouch down, and then the rest of the soldiers would know that there was enemy shells coming in. But Rags stayed with the division, and he was even brought back to the division, to the States, and lived with the 6th Field Artillery until his death in 1936. And it's a cute little, just a mutt, but a cute dog, and so we have that. We have our 1st Infantry Division dog.
And I think at least I remember there was a dog. I don't know if there still is or not, if Kirk would know over here in this corner. But I remember doing some stories. It might have been 10 years ago when I remember they took the dog to get him washed. And I want to, I think he was a bulldog, if I remember correctly. But it's always great to have that kind of a mascot or representing. In this case, it sounds like a very helpful dog, though.
And very, very helpful. And just recently, a book was published on Rags, a biography of Rags. So quite a famous dog, first ID dog.
Any other little pieces of trivia? I know you mentioned a bunch of firsts, but anything else I'm forgetting to ask you about? I mean, every time I ask you about one thing, then I find out about another. So I don't know where else we might want to go with this. I know we can also talk about what's going on post today, too. But
well, I do want to put a plug in for my museums. And if I may give the hours here, we are open daily from 9 o'clock in the morning for the Cavalry Museum till 4:30 in the afternoon. And that's Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're open from noon to 4:30. And then the 1st ID Museum, the Infantry Division Museum, chronicling the 100 years of the division, is open from 10 daily till 4 in the afternoon, and then on Sunday, 10 or noon to 4. Mm-hmm. And then the Custer House, the famous Custer House, is also open daily And there are guided tours there. Thank you for letting me put my plug in.
Well, what will people see when they come? Give us an idea.
Well, the first ID, 1st Infantry Division Museum, they will see artifacts that go back from 1917 to the birth of the division. They will actually see a circus program from that famed circus from 1919 to 1922. But we tell the story of the division all the way through World War II, up to its present operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we do honor and have exhibits on the Medal of Honor recipients that the division has had.
You know, as you are recounting some of these older conflicts and some interesting stories that come out of these, I don't know if some are too fresh to even bring in the more modern conflicts, if you've heard any stories of interest there with Iraq and you know, Afghanistan, or is it just too fresh to have any of those yet?
The soldiers do tell you those stories, but I think it does take a little while for them to open up with the, especially with the museum director. But we're always interested to hear the great stories. And you hear many, many poignant stories from these soldiers. But we do have stories. We interact a lot with, we're given a soldier to assist us at the museum. And they open up to us and tell us their stories. But a lot of it's still, I think, a little too fresh.
But you keep a record of all this, I presume.
I mean, oh, yes.
You keep the history alive.
We historians are great hoarders. You know, we're not supposed to be, but we are great hoarders. And we like to keep the past is to hold an artifact in your hand or a letter from the past is just incredible for us. And we share that with our visitors too.
And so many changes through the years when it comes to technology and weapons and you name it. I would imagine they're just, we wouldn't even probably hardly recognize a soldier from 100 years ago. Well, it just would be, I still say it would be interesting to go back and really see what things look like for them then.
Well, we offer a program at the museum. We call it Hands-on History for the Soldiers and teach the soldiers. And we dress them in period uniforms that go all the way back to the Revolution. But when they get to World War I and that heavy wool that they wore in World War I and put the pack on and everything, I think they're very appreciative of their modern equipment now after they have tried that on.
Well, of course, horses were a lot more important 100 years ago than they perhaps have been in later conflicts.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely. I mean, everyone realizes World War I, horses were a huge element of that. Well, I know, too, that lots going on post today, and I imagine the museum complex is involved with some of that and maybe just some of the highlights of what people can experience today. I know we have a reporter on post today, actually, with the Victory with Honors ceremony going on here in just half an hour, in fact. And I don't know whether Kirk wants to say a few words about some of this. Kirk Hutchinson with us now?
Well, I was going to leave it to Dr. Smith to talk about that. But we do have, this morning we had the division run, celebrating the 100 years, and Dr. Smith was up there for that, although I don't think he ran.
I couldn't have run. You know, they would have probably had the defibrillator following me, but it was quite an event.
And we do have the 100 years Victory of Honor ceremony that comes up, starts at 10 o'clock this morning on Fort Riley, and that is an event that's been open to the public, and people can come up and enjoy that celebration, and that's a big deal. I mean, 100 years of the 1st Infantry Division and the continuous service, and that the division is still serving the United States wherever it's needed.
And, you know, back to Dr. Smith here, Fort Riley has such a rich history. I mean, anybody you talk to, I would think, would be well aware of that. And as you mentioned a little bit earlier in the program, you might be a little bit prejudiced. But quite honestly, I mean, compared to some of the other groups, I'd say that it's one of a kind in many respects, as you were saying earlier.
It is one of a kind. It is one of the oldest posts, continuously operating posts in the United States. I put a plug in. My building, the Cavalry Museum building, is the oldest permanent building on post. It was built in 1855 and served as a hospital. And so Fort Riley has a rich, rich history. And what I think is really, really cool is that we have the rich Fort Riley history and we have the rich 1st Infantry Division history. And now they're, since 1955, they've been interconnected and together. And I just think that's such a neat concurrence of history.
Well, it's obvious you love what you do. I mean, I imagine you're constantly learning, even as a historian, probably, as you work at the museum complex. Anything you've been kind of surprised by in your experience in working there and things that you've seen as you've kind of gotten more involved with everything, all the different operations?
I'm learning every day, and we find in our artifacts and archives an interesting artifact, and then we can make the connection. Just yesterday, we received the artifacts that belonged to Major General Terry Allen, who commanded the division during the Second World War in North Africa and Sicily. A terrible Terry Allen, he was known as, but he was loved by his first ID soldiers. But we have those artifacts, and it was just incredible to take his World War II helmet out, put the white gloves on, and hold it. And it's sort of, you have that connection with history right then and there.
Any particular parts of the museum or complex, in fact, that people really seem to gravitate to? I mean, what are your more popular areas, perhaps?
The more popular area, I would say the Custer House is. And now, truth in advertising, Kathy. The Custer House was built, and Custer walked in its environs. However, Custer never lived there. And so I have to be very truthful, and I'm truthful to the – but he lived two doors down, but there was a fire in that building back in the 1930s. But if Custer came back today, he would recognize that house and had been in it, and he probably walked into my museum too. But the Custer House is extremely popular with our visitors. Both the 1st Infantry Division, the veterans really enjoy coming back and seeing and telling their children and their grandchildren, you know, I was in this campaign, and then they would come over to the museum and talk to us. So I would say that a lot of exhibits, I have favorite exhibits, but I'm a bit prejudiced there. We have a one-of-a-kind in the Cavalry Museum, a 1851 Dragoon uniform, and we know of only one other that exists, and that's located at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., so we're very proud of that. We also have two Frederick Remingtons in the Cavalry Museum paintings, and I think that's a really big deal.
Well, and it's interesting, too, as you mentioned Custer. Is it Libby Custer? Is that correct?
Oh, Libby Custer.
The apple pie days, I know, are based supposedly on a recipe that was hers. And
wonderful pies, though.
They really are, and I think the secret's pretty well guarded, too. I've had some of the pie queens in, and they're always very careful about what they say.
I've tried to get it out of them, too, but they told me they'd have to kill me first, and so.
Very good. Well, before we wrap up today, anything that, you know, other little interesting stories we want to leave the audience with that we haven't gotten into or anything else you're wanting to highlight today?
I have one other big plug, okay. And that is at the end of August, we will be in the Discovery Center celebrating the 100th anniversary of the division, and we will have an incredible exhibit chronicling the history, the 100 years of the division. And we also have the children's section, so we will have a children's section, Camp Funston, in which I think the children will really enjoy.
Well, again, it's been a pleasure. Dr. Robert Smith with us today, and Fort Riley Museum Complex Division Director. And take a break. When we come back, we have a couple of folks representing Flint Hills Christian School and also Manhattan Catholic School will be joining us when we come back. So, good little tribute. Put on your headphones. Dave Lewis is playing some good old music from the first. So, well done. Happy birthday.
You've done everything possible to control your interior lighting.